Good morning, everybody. It's your girl, Super Cindy. Welcome to Community Matters. Happy Sunday. Hope you're having an amazing Sunday morning. And today for Community Matters, I have some amazing guests. First, I have Pat Michaels representing One Blood. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You have a radio voice.
No.
Yes.
No. Well, I got a face for radio, so.
And also here I have Kemba, who is the president of the Advance in Sickle Cell Advocacy, a.k.a. ASAP. Good morning, Kemba.
Good morning.
And I also have Monique. She's also a member of the Advance in Sickle Cell Advocacy. She also is a warrior of sickle cell and also has a son who also is a warrior of sickle cell, correct?
Yes.
So good morning. Good morning, Monique. This morning we're going to be speaking about a lot of things. We're going to start with you, Pat. So you represent One Blood. Tell exactly all the listeners what One Blood is.
One Blood is the blood bank for all of Miami-Dade, Broward counties. Matter of fact, we're through most of the state of Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. And so if you see the big red buses.
I was going to say, yeah, the big red bus in front of Publix, the movie theaters, giving away free tickets.
And yes. Whatever. That's us. We have about 200 of the big red buses running around in parts of four states. Mm-hmm. And, we large territory, but by the same token, we're the community blood bank, nonprofit, like most blood banks around the country. Mm-hmm. And we support giving blood to help save lives. And it's important that we do it every day. And it's also important to let everyone know that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what's your racial background, we need for you to donate blood if you're eligible, because it can go to people that you have no idea you're going to be able to help, who may be fighting cancer or who may have sickle cell anemia or sickle cell disease.
So just the other day at the Cox Media Building right here at 99 Jams, we had a blood drive, and the goal of that blood drive was basically to get donors to donate blood for the tragedy that happened at the high school in Parkland.
That's right.
For the victims. Yep. That were in the hospital still fighting for their lives.
Yep.
So how did it go? Well, I saw a lot of people there was waiting.
Yes.
We had to get another bus
We had one big red bus, and then we realized that we needed another one. So we pulled another big red bus there. It was busy all day. Overwhelming. We had people, standing in line for hours here. And we had well over 100 people donating blood.
Amazing. Like and I was giving high fives to everybody for being so patient. They sat there in the shade. They were waiting. We even had a list, like you sign your name and put your phone number. We'll call you back in about an hour. That's how big the response was.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have blood drives that don't get a big response. So I need everyone to understand that it's not just, unfortunately, when a tragedy happens that we need donors.
That is
so
right.
It's 365 days a year.
That is it.
Because there's always someone in need of a transfusion, right? Blood.
Yep. That is
everything.
It. You know, in the days after that, leading into the weekend here, we have people now standing in line at the donor centers and big red buses all over South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I totally get this. I mean, when you have a tragedy, your heart goes out to people.
And feel like, can you do?
What can you do? And this is one of the things you can do, because these people were rushed to the level one trauma unit, and they needed blood. They needed blood immediately, so we got it there as quickly as possible. Then everyone comes out to donate. But you have to understand that it was the people days before, even a week before, they gave blood that had no idea there was going to be a shooting in Parkland.
Mm-hmm.
So that is exactly right. This is something that we should do. Think about every day is donating blood and not waiting for a tragedy, because this could save someone's life. And it's not when the tragedies happen. Every day there's someone who may be in a trauma unit. There may be someone who is fighting cancer. People don't know that, but platelet transfusions for cancer every day. There's someone who has sickle cell. They have to have those transfusions regularly to stay alive,
mm-hmm.
to replace the blood, the sickle cell cells that are deformed, and then we have to have them get fresh blood. That happens all the time.
So that you just answered the question of why blood is needed. So what is the process like when someone, sees the red bus? I see the red bus, donate blood, and have no clue what the next process is or anything. What's the process of when someone donates blood?
Yeah, when they go in the big red bus, it takes about 45 minutes or so, and they register, and then they do the actual donation. It's, for the most part, one unit of blood. It's whole blood, and then it goes to laboratories where it is broken into components, red blood cells, platelets, and plasma. Mm-hmm. And then we do some white blood cell and stem cell extractions as well. It's a very complicated process that then goes to that fractionation, then to the hospital. So if you donate a unit of blood, it literally could go to three people, maybe even more. So you're impacting a lot of people when you donate blood. And then we do cross-matching. We find out who needs it. So when you donate that blood, goes through the processing, we have a testing laboratory in St. Pete where the blood is tested, and then we find the person in the hospital, wherever that may be, who is waiting for that unit of whatever that is, mm-hmm. platelets, plasma, or red blood cells, mm-hmm. to be transfused.
So how do they decide, like, what hospital gets it or what... like where it goes, like who makes that decision?
Yeah, it's made throughout the system. We have, we serve 200 hospitals in the Southeast, and every day we have a network, it's called Blood Hub, mm-hmm. within our system. That's connected all those hospitals, and they let us know the procedures they're going to have each day, and they give us what they need. And so as we process the blood, it's going to the facility to be processed and then tested. The hospitals are waiting for us to deliver it. And we have couriers that deliver the blood to the hospitals where it's needed. And that is the individual components. And that could happen within 3 to 5 days.
What are they testing the blood for? Like, what would make it considered good blood, donatable blood, and non-donatable blood?
Yeah, we test for 13 items, anywhere from Chagas disease to HIV. Mm-hmm. There's hepatitis series. You probably heard of Zika. That was a new one we had to start testing 2 years ago that we watch for as well. It's not a problem now, but we make sure that that unit of blood is ready to go. And then once it's tested and the processing goes to the hospital, it has to be absolutely right. We have to be right about 100% of the time. Because you can't be wrong once with that kind of procedure.
I heard someone make a joke one time that they said they didn't have medical insurance, but they always go get tested, go donate blood, because then it tests everything, and if they don't get a postcard, they know they're good. Is that basically?
I guess there's something to be said for that.
It's like a doctor visit.
When you think about it, you're getting a mini checkup, because before you donate blood, we check your red blood count. Mm-hmm. We give you, your heart rate, your blood pressure, temperature, and then after you donate, your blood is typed, and then you find out what your cholesterol reading is too as well. So if you donate regularly, it's healthy for you, especially for men who have high red blood account that keep you your red blood cells at a certain level, even platelets, because your body refreshes that within a few days. Mm-hmm. You can donate red blood cells every 56 days, about every 2 months or so.
And you guys, like if someone comes out positive for something, you guys mail a card to them? Or how are they notified?
Yeah, we have a series of ways. We have a medical team that and people who handle that. They'll notify them by email, text them, whatever that that process is, and give them a letter. And then we have people that will call them and talk to them. So we follow up with them to let them know. Whatever that may be, if it's positive or something they could clear up after a period of time or something they need treatment for, and we tell them they need to go to see a physician.
So I'm looking at the OneBlood.com website, and it says, the different types of blood, like A+, B+, O+, AB positive and AB negative, and that's what they say are recommended for platelet donation. Are certain blood types more in demand, or like, do they go to specific illnesses?
Yeah.
Or?
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We have on our website, it's a program called Target Your Type. Mm-hmm. So we ask people to learn their blood type and know exactly how it should be used. AB negative, for example, is a perfect platelet plasma donation. And I've probably heard of some of these people who have donated gallons of blood. Mm-hmm. Those are most likely going to be those people, because they give blood frequently, probably every week or 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and would go to platelet transfusions for cancer patients. Mm. Because cancer patients during chemo and radiation therapies, their platelet count falls drastically, and they need the transfusions to stay alive. That's one process. If you have O positive, O negative, B positive, we might ask you to give a double red. That means two units of red blood cells. Mm-hmm. And we have these machines that do that process. Okay. So, yes, it is important. O negative, for example, is 7% of the population. That's the universal blood type. That's the thing that we have in trauma, in emergency units with, for example, the shooting this past week. A lot of those young kids came in there. They have no idea what their name is. They have no idea what their blood type is. Mm. They're going to go give them O negative immediately until they can type them out.
I never thought of that. Yeah. Before they're tested, O negative goes generic.
It is the generic. That's a good way to put it. So anybody can get it. And then they type them immediately, and they'll move them into the blood type once they do that. But that's why O negative is. We, matter of fact, put out a press release saying we need O negative donors because that's the first thing to go.
Mm. And so I'm reading here also that you can donate blood every 7 days. So you can't go, like, if I donated blood today, I can't go again tomorrow.
Well, that would be platelets.
Oh, platelets.
Yeah.
I'm getting confused.
No, it's okay. It is kind of complicated. Believe me, when I first started doing this, I was like, okay, what?
Now you're a doctor.
Every 2 months, 56 mm-hmm. days for regular whole blood donation.
Oh, okay.
And you remember I mentioned about the double red? Well, that'll mm-hmm. put you out 112 days. It's kind of based on the red blood cells. Platelets, you could give every week. If you want to. And that's how these people get to that multi-gallon level because mm-hmm. they're giving so much. I'll tell you that we're regulated highly by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. So everything we do in this organization and blood banks and American Red Cross, the same thing. I call it we're SOP'd out of our SOPs. Everything is standard operational procedure because we have to be right. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that donation is maximized. We give it, break it up into the components. It gets to the patient at the right time, and it has to be safe and tested. And through all that processing, we have to make sure we follow the letter of the law. So the FDA mandates that, and we have to make sure it is because we're a steward of the community.
Yeah.
We serve the hospitals and patients.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do that right, then we're going to be wrong.
And you know what? I just thought about something. Like, I read here that blood cannot be manufactured. Like, I'm diabetic, been diabetic since I was 10 years old, and insulin is not human insulin. They make that insulin. So has anyone ever been close to manufacturing blood, like creating it and selling it or something?
What they've tried to do, mainly in the military, because of mass casualties, is to produce a red blood cell that they could use. And to some extent, they were able to do that because red blood cells carries oxygen. And when someone's in a trauma situation and loses blood, it's that red blood cell they want to get into you as quickly as possible mm-hmm. to get your body oxygen level back up to normal. But that's about as close as they've gotten. And if I could tell you in a short period of time how mm-hmm. complicated this process is
yeah.
and what the blood bank does,
mm-hmm.
Because we lead the industry. We have to make sure that we have biovigilance when anything happens in the human population, whether there's a new virus or whatever. But we also have to make sure that we know what the components are of the blood and where it's going to go. Blood is very complicated. Other than the ABO type matching, mm-hmm. there are rare types. There's antigens within the blood. We have to leukoreduce the blood to make sure that there's no reactions for patients who are getting it. So a unit of blood is really this universe of fluid that goes to another person that has properties that are well beyond the individual, like platelets, plasma, and red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very complicated process to try to recreate that. And science can kind of get close to it, but the answer is there is no substitution for a human donating blood to go to another person to save a life.
And when the average person donates blood, how much are they donating? Because I just read here, an average single car accident victim, one person, can require up to 100 pints of blood from that accident. Mm-hmm. So how much, like if I go in to donate blood, how much am I donating?
A pint.
Oh, okay.
Give or take.
So each person, yep. at least I save one life.
That's right.
Least.
About a pint of blood. And
okay.
we have computers that figure out if you're you're a high school girl and you weigh 110 pounds, it's going to be a little bit less. But if you're a big football player and you weigh mm-hmm. 250 pounds, a little bit more. But about a pint or so. And then it's broken up into two components. And that is exactly right. That's why sometimes blood is very precious and it can be used in a very short period of time. After the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando, we transfuse 441 units of blood that morning, early morning, as we moved those people into the hospital. One patient used 200 units of blood, just one.
Wow.
Our red light was on at the blood bank. That was one of the most startling times that we'd ever had. Up until Las Vegas, that was the largest massacre in the United States.
And it was so close to home.
And it was,
and the red light means you guys were low.
We were already in, this was in June.
In the red.
We don't have high schools and college blood drives, which is about 18% of our intake of blood. So we have to make up for it. And we were on the cusp of having to keep up with, you know, the units of blood, make sure the hospital has what they need, because we always have to make sure the hospitals have what they need. So we were in a time where we were low on blood donations, and then we had this tragedy happen, and it put us in this crisis mode that we had never been in, that no blood bank in the United States had ever been in at that point. No trauma unit. In Orlando, it's the Orlando Regional Medical Center Level 1 Trauma Unit, had never handled that amount of disaster, massacre, tragedy. So we had to respond to that, and we did. And what happened this past week here at Douglas High School, same thing. And there's no way to minimize what we do, we have to do, and we have to do it quickly and precisely. There's nothing to account for the people who come in and donate blood, because it is a human who walks in and gives something that is going to be saving someone else's life. I mean, we had people coming in, they were crying. Well, I want to give blood, I want to help. And we understand that because it's frustrating in times when we have so many shootings and so many disasters, and we have no idea where they're coming from, when they're going to happen again. But we're very happy people want to do this and give blood. But but as you said earlier, we'd love for people to do this on a regular basis, because it doesn't have to be until a tragedy happens.
Or when the light is red.
That's right. When the light is red, yeah.
So with that being said, we were discussing just donating blood during a tragedy and for other situations, everyday situations that happen. So like I said before, I have Kemba and Monique, who represent the Advance in Sickle Cell Advocacy Organization. They're also known as ASAP. Welcome, Kemba. So you're the president of the organization. So
yes.
Tell me exactly what the organization Advance in Sickle Cell Advocacy is about. How did it come about?
Okay, I just want to also say thank you to Mr. Hans Antonat, who does the blood drive for his daughter Leah.
Same
That's
here.
How
we
met during advocacy. So, yes, I just wanted to shout him out for inviting us. A lot of people don't know, Cindy, that sickle cell is the most common genetic disorder in the United States. With that being said, with it being the most common genetic disorder, we're far behind in terms of research, treatment. And so the name ASAP is a play on, hurry up right now. It's a sense of urgency. It means Advancing Sickle Cell Advocacy Project. But at the same time, the sickle cell community, we need resources. We need better treatment. We need to be, you know, treated with dignity and respect. And we need it right now as soon as possible.
What is sickle cell?
Sickle cell is a genetic blood disorder which affects the red blood cells. You know how you have you can picture a red blood cell being round and smooth, and it flows freely through the body with no problem. But imagine if you deflate that blood cell and it becomes
a different shape, half of it.
A different shape, like a sickle, you know, a half moon. So if it's shaped like that, clearly it's not able to move freely throughout, you know, so it can get clogged, get stopped. And when that happens, it deprives that area of oxygen, which can lead to tissue loss, organ failure, and excruciating pain.
So how did you get involved with this fight?
Well, my daughter has sickle cell anemia. I'm a carrier of the sickle cell trait.
I was telling you earlier, I'm a carrier of the trait.
Yes, and even with the trait, you got to be careful about being hydrated and things like that. There's a lot of things that we're learning about the trait.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yes.
But I drink a lot of water, if that means hydrated.
Yes, good.
Okay. but okay, so continue. I'm sorry.
Yes, and so we got together. Our organization is comprised of people with sickle cell, mm-hmm. and also people that are wanting to make a difference in this, within the sickle cell community.
Okay, to bring awareness, correct. Whether it's something personal or...
Yes.
How old is your daughter, if you don't
mind
me asking?
My daughter is actually 28. She's an adult.
And so she's... How is her condition? Is it like... Is she in and out the hospital? Like, is she a...
Well, since she became an adult, the hospitalizations have been less frequent, mm-hmm. but she lost her hip.
Oh, okay.
And that's a complication that, you know, Monique can share with you also, but mm-hmm. that's a complication that some of the sickle cell warriors can experience, mm. you know, when they have a crisis. It's called avascular necrosis,
okay.
when basically the bone dies, mm. you know, so that's
not,
what happened.
Because the red cells are not yes. flowing through.
Yes, so that's what happened with her hip.
Okay.
So she ended up losing her hip and had to have a total hip replacement surgery.
Wow.
At the age of... 18.
Wow.
So that's very young to go through something like that. And so
yeah.
she has sickle cell. People with sickle cell are some of the most resilient. You would never know what they go through just by looking at them. You know, the strength that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the term warrior is so fitting for them because they go through a lot and they do it with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the most excruciating pain that you can ever imagine. You know, so
like one of them, like honestly, besides T-Boz from TLC, I'm not familiar with another celebrity, and I put that in quotes, who has sickle cell or has become public about sickle cell. And I remember back in the 90s and 2000 when TLC was popular or whatever, that she would go through episodes and it was like in the magazines and people would talk about it, pray for T-Boz. And recently when they came back out, her and Chili, she was talking about how being on tour and on the road and battling this illness, this thing that... No one knew about it because they just saw her all pretty with her cute haircut.
Right.
No one knew what she was going through
exactly.
behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So it's exactly what you're saying. The outside, you can't tell anything.
Right. And that's why a lot of times, you know, we have a lot of fight even now with the opioid epidemic and things like that. A lot of time, you know, because you're in so much pain, you do require.
Just start taking that?
Yeah, you do require the
pain
medication
kills.
Because you're, you know, the crisis causes, you know, excruciating severe pain. So, mm-hmm. yeah. We have an uphill battle, but, you know, that's our mission is to spread awareness, you know, educate the general public
mm-hmm.
on sickle cell because now the NCAA even, you know, is mandatory now where they test the athletes,
for
you know, for the trait,
for the trait.
Yeah, because you can experience complications with that. But
wait, so they're testing athletes to see if they have the sickle cell trait for what reason, you said?
Well, we've actually lost some athletes.
Who just had the trait?
Yes.
I want to know more about that because I have the
That's
trait. I was told that when I was
wow.
like 14 or 15 because I'm diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in doctor's offices mm-hmm. my whole kid life since 10. So, and they told me that when I was about 15. And I never knew, they never back mm-hmm. then told me the severity of having the trait. So, and I'm sure there's people listening that have the trait and probably don't even know what that means. I just thought it meant don't ever have a baby
That's
with
right,
someone.
Yeah.
Who has the trait too, because then your child, you know, will have sickle cell. So I want to come back and talk about that a lot further after this break. All right, so right now we have Monique of Advancing Sickle Cell Advocacy, also Kemba, the president of ASAP, which is the Advance in Sickle Cell Advocacy, and also Pat Michaels representing One Blood. We'll be right back on Community Matters.